live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
We do need to talk about ghosts, and indeed we will. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of We Need to Talk About Ghosts. You will notice an echo. Yes, you will. And that's because I'm recording upstairs. Two reasons. Well, one reason mainly. The big reason is that about 3 hours after recording this, I'm going to be speaking to AEW heavyweight champion Chris Jericho, the greatest of all time. Yes, he's a wrestler. He's a wrestling legend. And I'll be going back on his podcast to talk about Aleister Crowley and his influence, or Crowley, however you want it, and his influence on rock music, which I'm looking forward to. But also, I'm with, on a normal episode, a co-hosted episode with Rebecca.
Hello.
Hello. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. Are you?
Yes, I am. You've got a lovely little kitten voice.
I do not. I have a normal person voice.
Can you project?
Yes, of course I can project. I used to act.
You used to act?
I used to act.
Right. What did you act in?
Well, I started off as a blade of grass.
A blade of grass?
Yes. And then I was so improved that by the time it came to leave primary school, I had 6 parts in the play. Imagine the career, the acting career in school, to go from being a blade of grass to having 6 parts.
But was that like, was it just 6 blades of grass? Did you progress from a blade of grass
to a bush? No, 6 different blades of grass. 6 different parts.
How many kids were in your school? Were you home taught? Was it just you, like one play?
No.
Now just look out the window while I go and get the maid.
Out of 70, actually.
Out of 70?
70.
You played 6, God, with the rest of them, like, I can't say that. I was going to slag off some less advantaged children. But were they educationally challenged at your school?
No, they weren't. They just didn't have the thespian instinct as I did.
Well, yes, all good actors started off playing grass, I'm sure. So we're going to be speaking about ghosts today.
Okay.
As you love, as is your want, as is one of your favourite topics. And we're going to be swapping and changing stories. By that, I mean, it's a listener episode, as the show is in its nature.
I understand.
And I'm going to be reading some that have been emailed in. You're going to be reading some that have been emailed in. And we will comment on the lot.
Lovely.
Does that sound good?
Yes.
You're helping me out so that I don't do my voice in before Jericho. And also, because I need to announce there's going to be a few changes to the show after after seeking advice from a professional in America. Now, in a nutshell, nothing major is going to change. It's going to change by about 2%. But it'll be a lot more structured as a show. There will be a lot more music in the show. And yes, I know, I parodied podcasts with music behind stories before in the guise of Peter English III. And he may be back. We never know.
Do you want to practice now? Do you want me to do an instrumental for you while you talk?
Can you play an instrument?
And
then he woke up and he noticed that the spiders had eaten his toes.
How did you find that?
I was terrified why the spiders were eating toes, to be honest. I don't know where that came from.
Seems reasonable.
But, so there's going to just be slight music behind some of the stories. I'm still going to be ranting bollocks over the stories. The difference will be is that for editing purposes, because this guy basically listened to a lot of the shows and came back with feedback. And he said, and it's a very, very valid point, and you know, you've got to act on feedback. You can't just be precious about it. A very valid point, he said, that sometimes you don't know or you can't tell when a person's story that's been sent in is ending and my rant about the line or my general bollocks about the line begins. So he used an example. I can't remember because I haven't got it here. But it was something along the lines of, it was at this point that the duvet flew off the bed. We've got a bed and our bed, da da da. And I started banging on about our bed.
So they didn't know whether that was part of the story.
Exactly, yeah. And he found it quite confusing. And I listened back to the bit that he was on about and I was like, you know, I understood it. It took me a while because I know how I speak and I know my cadence.
Yes.
So I was like, well, I understand where I came in. It's pretty obvious if you hang around with me 24/7. But then I thought, aha.
Yeah, there is a change in tone, so I'd get it.
You literally are my partner of several years.
Yes.
So I would hope that you'd understand. Mm. But
it's a fair point, though.
Anyone new to the show may be like, I can't listen to it. I just don't get it.
Well,
I mean, no, I get that.
I agree.
I get that content, host-wise. But no, so yeah, from next week, There's going to be a few changes around this place.
So you're going to stop interjecting with your own comments during what are you just
no,
going
no,
to...
No, I'm going to carry on with that. I'm just going to cease the music behind it at that point.
Oh, right, okay. No, I'm not going to stop rambling on.
Yeah, that reminds me of a lad. You know, I may as well say this. Becca knows the story. But I've got a group, a WhatsApp group with all my mates. And one of my mates keeps putting, and I'm sure we've all got similar friends who do something stupid like this. There's about 12 of us in this WhatsApp group. And one of the lads keeps on putting porn in the group. No comments, you know, just like porn pictures. And then everyone carries on with the conversation. They don't even really address it. And me and one of the other lads were like, you know what? Someone needs to have a word with this. So someone like just messaged him and said, can you just tone down on the porn? Like we're all 40. We don't, you know, we've got no real interest in this sort of stuff. And he left the group. And then and no one noticed really, but I did about 3 weeks on. So we got in touch with him and went, why did you leave the group? And he said, oh, you know, but he implied it was the porn or him sort of thing. Like that made up his entire being.
Yeah, like if he was in the group, he was just going to keep sending it. So, yeah, I mean, that's the bit I like about, like, why not just stop sending it? You don't actually have to leave. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Listen, mate, you know, I could stay, but that's just not me.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. You get me, you get porn, mate. You know, you can't have it both ways. So, yeah, that's fun. So we've covered off changes to the episode. Mm-hmm. Jericho, which is a huge thing to cover off. Porn. That was not planned for the episode, but that popped in there. So I think we shall begin with some spooky stories. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah, brave. Right off the block.
Why is that brave?
Well, you don't know what the story is yet.
I'm sure I'll be able to read it out.
Okay, and here's the challenge for you. You need to read it out. And
don't say with your eyes closed or something stupid.
Well, but it's not in Braille. Can you read Braille?
No, I can't, actually.
Well, you're going to have a treat, because there's some bumpy paper. No, what I was going to say is you need to read it out not descriptively, like dramatically.
Okay, I can do that.
Not taking the piss.
Like a
because people have sent these in.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like a performance, I see.
Yeah. And I don't want you to... And let's see if you can do it without sound. Like, you know, if it says, don't go like, and then she reckons she's seeing a ghost.
Listen, do you just want me to leave?
No, stay. I need to save my voice.
Okay.
Not doing good at that thus far. Okay. So I'll tell you what I'll do. Right now, I'll slip in a gadang from the guitar, and then we'll talk about ghosts.
Okay.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, so we're back, and Rebecca, you're going to start us off.
I am. So we've got an email here titled British Goth Rock / New Wave Ghost. Sounds interesting.
That does sound interesting. Slow down a bit when you're reading the stories, though, so people can digest.
Okay. So it says, hi Kev, hope you and Becca had a lovely holiday season. Thank you very much. We did.
Thank you.
I hope you did too. And I'm touched that you spelt my name right. Lovely. Thank you.
Did
you? Yeah.
Oh, fair play, Kaylee Kay. Kaylee Kay.
She says, I remembered a ghost story that my mum had, and she's a lot more experienced than me and is an empath, but is quite religious, so doesn't like to discuss them. She was young, maybe 15, 16, and like most kids that age, she was full of angst. She describes it as a dark time where she listened to bands like The Cure and The Smiths. Okay, these put lol.
Lol.
Anyway, she was into darker goth stuff, and she mentioned she and her friends messed with Ouija boards and similar things. One night, the family dog went into her room and would not stop barking. We're talking at least half an hour of non-stop barking where my mum was trying to sleep and couldn't get her to stop. And weirdest of all, she was barking at one specific and direct corner of my mum's ceiling, staring directly at it and growling.
Can I just stop you there?
Mm-hmm.
It's a known fact. Don't want to freak her out, Kaylee Kay. But it's a known fact. I say known fact. It's known in the paranormal industry.
Industry.
That demons and demonic and evil spirits live or hide in the corners, the upper corners of rooms. It's very... you know who told me that? Grainne's mother.
Right.
Okay. And she's quite tune with all of these things. She knows a few witches, genuinely.
Yeah, no, I wasn't like being disparaging. Grainne's mother, she's genuinely a witch.
Yeah. But, allegedly, corners of rooms, upper corners of rooms, that's where demons hide. Anyway, continue.
Thanks. She says that my mum couldn't see anything, so her mum came in. Now, my grandma is even more religious than my mum, took one look at the dog growling at nothing in the corner of the ceiling, and went and got a Bible and said a prayer out loud.
See, told you.
It's like you, that time in Anglesey, getting a Bible out and just opening it.
Yeah, fucking right.
As soon as she put the Bible down, the dog literally stopped barking and calmly walked back out of the bedroom. Interesting. My mum said she stopped messing with spiritual stuff after that night and nothing ever happened again. I've heard that some spirits, e.g. shadow people, hang in the corners of the
room.
Oh,
what? Boom. Told you.
Also, see the movie Insidious where the demon crawls in the corners? And when you are smoke cleansing a room, you always focus a bit of extra time in corners because negativity accumulates there.
You know what? Well done. Clearly you know this, Kaylee.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you shouldn't be interrupted. Maybe you should let the story finish first before you start piping in. No, not having that. She says, on a lighter note, when you read out my story about my friend Nat and the child Mirror Ghost a couple of episodes ago, I was so happy I had to pause the podcast and take a breath and then went home for the holidays and showed my parents. Lol. My mum loves your accent. Wishing you a joyful 2020, Kaylee. Well, that's lovely.
It is lovely. And just for Kaylee's mum. All right, Kaylee's mum, Gail. I'm from Liverpool. Know what I mean?
Why? How are you managing to do a bad Scouse accent?
I don't know.
Do the one I like. The
big gangster man.
Yeah.
Now listen here, sweetheart. I'm going to come round and sort it out. Don't you worry about a thing, sweetheart. I will make it all better for you. Go get your car. I will wash it for you.
What a weird thing to say.
What a strange gangster.
I should wash up my car.
Yeah. He's a very polite gangster, isn't he? I wish all gangsters were as polite as him. I will do your gardening for you.
That's not polite. That's like in service use.
Well, fair enough. Whatever he wants to do. Okay. You know, we don't own this guy.
Right.
Well, thank you for that. Now, I take it it's my turn for a story now.
And it is indeed.
Because that's how back and forth goes.
I understand.
Okay. So the story I'm going to do comes from a person that we... Well, not a person that we both know. A person that we both know.
So a person that we both know.
A person that we both know's mother.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you know Sarah, who we work with? Or yes. You used to work with, I still do.
Yeah.
Her mother, Trish, sent me in 3 ghost stories because she's been threatening to do this for a while.
Threatening?
Yeah.
It's not the right word.
I know, yeah. No, she's been, you know, saying... Apparently she's been saying she will put them on paper for a while. Mm-hmm. And she's literally sent me 3 Word documents, so I'm going to read one of them out now.
Oh, okay, brilliant.
We may read another one out in this show and I may save one for next week. Okay. We'll see how we get on. Anyway, so this story she sent in is called Who Does That Shadow Belong To? Interesting. As a child, I was afraid of the dark. I believed in ghosts and witches and had a vivid imagination. Sounds like me now, 40. If I was home alone, I always felt like I was going to see something looking back at me if I looked in the mirror. And at bedtime, I insisted on having the landing light on. I still, you know, if I slept in my dad's now, I still would have the landing light on. Honestly. Anyway, I'd probably sleep with the light on if you wasn't at home.
Would you? Yeah, if I wasn't there, you'd leave the light on.
But you don't understand the power of my imagination.
Would you keep the lamp on or like just the landing light outside?
The lamp. You know.
Would you?
Yeah. Never mind. Hard as nails, me girl.
Do you want me to get you that nightlight?
Yes, please. Okay. This happened to me when I was about 12, many years ago. My sister's in-laws lived in a rather large 5-bedroomed house in a suburb of Liverpool, and I spent plenty of summers there when I was about 12. I was not much younger than my sister's future sister-in-law, so we spent lots of time together, often just hanging out around the big house. The house was split into 2. The back of the house was where the family mostly lived on a day-to-day basis. It was where the kitchen was, so the atmosphere was cosy and warm. And there was the front of the house, which was what I call the best rooms, where the family would entertain or use at Christmas.
I wonder how they felt about you calling them the best rooms.
I know, yeah, it's a good point, yeah. Do you know when people say the living room?
Yes.
Do you know why that is?
Because they used to put the dead people in the parlour.
Correct. Yes, quite correct.
Bingo!
It was kept very pristine with good quality antique furniture, but the atmosphere was different to the back of the house. This was cold and still, not the same comfortable feeling. The main staircase had a grand hallway that was either side of the front and back, running through the middle of the house. It seemed that the stairs were closest to the best rooms, but that was just perception. And for me, it was the front of the house that I found to be most disconcerting. Great word. I always felt someone was around, watching, and if you needed the bathroom, you had to go to the front of the house and climb what appeared to be a rather large staircase for a 12-year-old. I would often be ready and undressed for the bathroom by the time I made it to the top of the stairs, so I could be back down to the back of the house ASAP. This was the safe side. Do you do that? You know, you'd run downstairs, like, as a kid, did you run downstairs quick? Or run upstairs quick? Which was it, up or down? Really? I used to run down quick.
But you can see where you're going down, whereas when you're going up, you can't...
No, you know what it was? In my nan's upstairs was terrifying because it was like a very condensed council house and the staircase had no windows. So it just went up to the landing. The only light from it was from a small bathroom window, which was directly at the top of the staircase, and then left and right were just rooms off it. Mm. But it was always very dark up there. So I'd walk up hesitantly and bomb it down the stairs.
Mm. I used to as well put my arm through into a room to turn the light on before stepping into the dark room.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's weird. Mm. Okay, so sorry, back to your thing. The safe side. When my sister got married, like most siblings, her sister-in-law decided she wanted to move into the big bedroom in the front of the house, overlooking the street, which was previously occupied by her brother before the marriage. The bedroom was twice the size of her current room and had a large bay window, making the room appear even bigger. We picked a day for the move, and together we moved all our stuff across the landing and into the bigger room. By the time we'd finished, the room was immaculate. Everything had its place, and even the many magazines she had were placed neatly in a magazine rack. Yes, a magazine rack. She had never used one of those before. We had a busy day, and it was late by the time we climbed into a rather large double bed. She had a TV in her bedroom, so we decided to settle down to watch TV as we tucked into a rather large tub of Quality Street. There's a lot of rather large things here. I do like Quality Street, though. As her parents were in bed across the landing, we had the TV on low so as not to disturb them, and we turned off all the lights. It was pitch black with just the glow from the telly casting shadows across the room. What a day. We had been so busy, but not yet sleepy. I remember Klute was on the telly, an adult film that we probably shouldn't have been watching. But in those days, and that late at night, it was adult time, and we didn't have much choice. We soon got bored with the film, and stupidly my sister-in-law decided to play Who Does That Shadow Belong To? That sounds like a terrifying 70s game, doesn't it?
No.
Hey, let's play Who Does That Devil Belong To? We sat right back in bed and began to play, still munching on the chocolates, managing to attribute all the shadows to innocent things. I have a feeling that's going to change. Then suddenly, from the bottom of the bed came a loud rustling noise. It seemed to go on for about 30 seconds, possibly longer. Thinking back, it sounded like someone thumbing aggressively through a magazine and it going on for ages in the quiet of the room and in the dark. That's horrible. What the hell was that? We couldn't move. We just stared at each other, terrified. I can't explain the fear or the physical feeling of being cold, but at the same time sweating, having your heart pound in your chest so strong that you hear the noise booming in your ears. It sounds like you've done a pretty good job at describing the fear, to be fair. Time felt like it stood still and we didn't move for ages. Couldn't move and so afraid that we daresn't look. Eventually, after what seemed to be an age, I remember sitting up and trying to peer over the end of the bed, but I couldn't see anything, so I had to crawl down towards the end of the bed. So frightened, I didn't want to let go of the bed sheets. I was horrified when I saw, by the light from the TV, the mess literally all over the floor. It was all the magazines we had tidied up earlier, out of the rack, strewn across the floor, as if someone had a tantrum and launched them all over the place. They hadn't just fallen out the rack, they'd been tossed, on purpose, all over the floor. I will never forget that night of fear, the cold while at the same time sweating and then not believing your eyes. This was my first real encounter with something I couldn't quite explain. Something I knew to be real, though, and through audio and visual evidence, an event that was not my vivid imagination or my fear of the dark, because I wasn't on my own and had another witness. I don't know what or who it was to this day. To think this happened nearly 44 years ago, and it's still as vivid to me today as it was then. Throughout the whole episode, my sister-in-law didn't move or say a word, but she sat there hugging the bedsheets. For her, this was just the start of many more happenings.
Aww.
That's scary, huh? And we'll continue with story two in this episode, because that was a very well-written story, I do believe.
Okay.
Was that scary to you?
I mean, aren't we talking about a room full of children and she's basically saying that the magazines were a mess?
Well, hold on. You've made two assumptions there. One, full of children. There was two of them.
Right.
Two.
I did think there was more of them.
No,
yeah.
Two.
Okay.
Two, the magazines were all a mess. You missed the prevalent point that they were neatly tidied away in a magazine rack that she never previously owned. What say you now, skeptic?
I just think magazines being a mess isn't enough.
Even if the devil put them there himself.
Oh, also, why was it titled Who Shadow Is That? We didn't see a mystery shadow,
no,
did we?
No, you're not paying attention, are you? I'm going to set fire to you.
I am.
We'll soon see whose shadow
listening.
That is.
I was listening.
Right.
They were eating Quality Street.
And what game was they playing?
Who Shadow Is This?
Yeah. So why was the song, what was the title of the story?
Yeah, Who Shadow Is This? I thought there was going to be a mystery shadow. What I'm saying.
No, but whilst playing Whose Shadow Is This, the devil started fucking about with the magazines.
Angry devil has seen something he doesn't like in the magazines and decided to angrily throw them
well,
around.
No.
I'm not on the front page of any of these!
No, that's not clearly not what happened. It's not a literally angry devil.
Well, because she actually says it sounded like someone was angrily flicking through
aggressively,
magazines.
There's a difference. There is a difference.
Is there? Are people often aggressive without being angry?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because just earlier, I demolished that porridge. I aggressively ate that porridge, but I was happy.
You didn't aggressively eat
I did
porridge.
Aggressively. Becca, there's no pattern on the bowl
well,
now.
Maybe you were hangry.
I wasn't hangry. And don't use nonsense millennial words.
Why am I a millennial? Because you're practically a boomer.
I'm not. I'm Generation X.
Okay, boomer.
Generation X.
Okay, boomer.
We feel neither highs nor lows. Just anger and aggression.
Anger, aha!
Ah, bollocks. Okay, anyway, it's time for you to tell us a story.
Okay.
Tell us a story. In fact, it's not. It's time for a midpoint. Okay. Hooray. Cheer.
Hooray.
That's so insincere. It's the midpoint. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I was just wondering where that song was going.
It's the midpoint. You just sing, you dance, you get funky. Stop it.
Stop what?
Well, I mean, start. Start enjoying. Come on, sing on. That's the spirit. See, that didn't hurt, did it? Only your pride. Anyway, it's a midpoint. So I want to thank everybody for sending the stories in. It's been amazing. If you've got a story, obviously we want to hear it. And we want to read it out. Get your hands off that sellotape.
No.
But it's interrupting the recording.
I'm going to use it as a spinning top.
Well, I'm glad you're entertained. Easily entertained, you aren't you?
Well, no, actually, I need something to entertain me while you're talking.
Ooh. Anyway, it's a midpoint. If you've got a ghost story that you want us to read out, please do, and please send it in. You can send it into contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and we will read it out. It's very important that we get these stories because that's the lifeblood of the show. That's literally the title. We need to talk about ghosts, yeah, as you know. So yeah, please send it in, contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Now, of course, none of this would be possible without our amazing, Patreons. If you want to become a Patreon and support the show and get an extra episode once a week, normally me and you cooking food, isn't it? And
yeah, and it's not a cookery.
It's not a cookery show. Podcast, no. It's just more of me and you having tiny arguments about the inaccuracies of some paranormal events.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only available on Patreon. So if you want to become a Patreon and support the show and allow this to keep going, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Just $5 a month gets you access to new episodes once a week, all that jazz, videos, posts. You know how it works. Your podcast listeners, you know how this works. But we have had some new Patreon sign up this week, and you might not know this. Do you know that I sing to the Patreons?
I think I blocked it.
How very dare you. Okay, well, I'm going to sing to 3 new Patreons right now as part of their thank you for signing up to Patreon.
Yes, I do remember this now and I had blocked it.
How very fucking dare you.
You've already said that.
I know. I repeat it. So if you want to have your name sung, and why wouldn't you, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts.
Have you thought, so you know the email address is Talk About Ghosts and the website is Talk About Ghosts, that if you wanted to like abbreviate that, it would be tag and you could do #tag.
Oh, yeah, but see the actual abbreviation is WNTTAG.
All right, well, I'm just saying because the website is only Talk About Ghosts.
The website is only Talk About Ghosts.
#tag.
#tag. Not a bad shout. But anyway, enough of this waffle. I need to sing to these patrons.
Okay.
And the new patrons that we have, 3 people. We have one by the name of Diana, one by the name of Dave Roberts, one by the name of Weather Woo Woo.
Were you tempted to rip off Dirty Diana?
Do you want to say that closer to the mic?
Sorry. Were you tempted to rip off Dirty Diana for the song?
I was, but seeing as I ripped off the boxer and got a copyright thing off Sony Entertainment. I'm not going to be doing that.
Who knew they cared?
Yeah, who knew they cared? Or had an algorithm with such power?
Little old podcast.
Okay, so I've wrote a grunge song for this because it's my favourite style of music.
Okay.
It goes like this. We have got new Patreons. Dave Roberts. Yeah. Diana. Where's a wound? Dave Roberts. Yeah. Diana. Where's a woo? We have got some on the Patreon. Try to end it on a seventh, because that's what you do, you know.
Okay.
But I couldn't end on a seventh because I was using open chords, Becca. Clearly, you know the struggle that brings me.
So familiar with the struggle.
So familiar. Anyway, if you guys want to be like Dave Roberts, no. I'm going to turn that into a real song.
Obviously, I was going to say, you're really enjoying this, aren't you?
I really am enjoying this song.
Far too into this song.
But I can't use their names in it because people will be like, why is he just singing random people's names? But
next time we should get me like a triangle or something.
Ooh, that's such a good idea. Or a shaker, an egg shaker.
Yes, or tambourine.
Or a tambourine.
Tambourine might be a bit advanced, actually.
Yeah,
Maybe just a triangle. Or a shaker.
Yeah, or a tuna fork. Ooh, yeah. Dave Roberts.
I think I might get a bit carried away with a tuna fork. Is it where you hit it?
Yeah.
I think I might get too excited about that.
Yeah, no, you'd have it all the time, wouldn't you? We're going to Aldi. Boom. Anyway, if you want to be a Patreon and have your name sung out like those three wonderful guys, then go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. You can support the show. You can get an extra episode a week just for Patreons of me and Becca shooting the breeze. Anyway, let's get back to some spooky stories, and I do believe it's your turn.
It is.
Hooray. Okay, so that was the midpoint, and now, as has been told at the end of the midpoint, if you're paying attention, Becca's now going to tell us a story.
I am. We've got a story from Gillian Jane.
I like it. Two first names, yes.
Hello, Gillian Jane.
Hello, Gillian Jane.
Gillian says...
GJ.
Are you done?
Yes.
Gillian says, hi, Kev.
Hi. Sorry, you caught me unawares on an e-cig. Sorry. Hi.
First, I have to say how much I love the show. The way you and Becca are total opposites in what you believe is very entertaining.
Ooh, controversial.
I do. I have had a few different spooky things happen to me during my life, starting with the creepy faces at my window at night when I was a child.
That'll do it. Stop there.
What? More on that.
I know, yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, you know, just those creepy faces at night. Yeah, you know the ones. However, this is amusing more than spooky. I'll send the spooky tales later if you want. Yes.
Yes, please.
I think we need first to say, yes, please, Gillian Jane. We would like that.
You've got the email address, as you can tell by us reading this out.
What a dull thing to say.
You know what? I'm more concentrating on the fact that you're really close to the microphone now. You need to make your mind up.
I'm sorry. I had to move earlier because you nearly swapped my eye out with the strings from the guitar.
Dave Roberts. Oh, no, good. Okay.
Thanks.
So, the spooky faces as a child at a window.
No, we've moved on from that now.
I haven't.
This is amusing more than spooky, she says. I'll send the spooky tales later if you want. And we both said, yes, please.
Yes, please.
Now who's not keeping up?
Yeah, fair play.
My family and I were visiting Flodden Field in Northumberland, the site of a large battle between England and Scotland in 1513. There is a memorial cross on the battle site. I was walking ahead of the rest of my family and I could hear drumming. I used to be in a pipe band and checked around to see if there was a band starting to play. I couldn't see any and waited to hear if the pipes would start. Nothing, just faint drumming. I've visited the theme parks in Orlando a few times and we have a running joke amongst the family about the singing rocks, etc. in the theme parks. They play music through hidden speakers around the parks, so I started laughing, saying that they have singing monuments, not singing rocks. As no one replied to me, I turned around to the rest of my family looking at me like I had three heads. What are you talking about? They asked. I explained how it was funny that they were playing drumming through the monuments. Again, they were looking at me like I'm totally bonkers. There's no drumming. I then decided they were just messing with me, as I could totally hear drumming. After a bit of discussion, I realised that they actually weren't messing with me and no one else could hear them. Oops. Just cue me returning swiftly to the car park with my family now convinced I'm a total loony. To this day, I cannot explain how only I could hear this drumming. Hope you enjoy this and it just amuses you and not freaks you out. Thanks from Jilly Jane. Oh, interesting. She signs off Jilly Jane rather than Jilly
Jane. I like
Jane.
Jilly Jane, isn't
I like
it?
Jilly Jane. Yeah. Thanks, Jilly Jane.
Jilly Jane has a name. It is up there with my favourites. Didn't rhyme. Anyway, what make thee of that?
Interesting, isn't it?
Go on. Peruse that email. I went to take the email off Becca's hands. She looked at me as to say, I am reading.
Well, now I've finished reading. Would you like it back?
No. Come on. Let's discuss. Okay. What do you think of phantom sounds?
First of all, what's a pipe band?
It's like a Like, you know, if you imagined an old, a ye olde, like an army walking through the mist, like an Edwardian army or a Tudor army. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, like a brass band. Dun, dun.
No, like, and there's like going to war.
So like a brass band for pipes?
You're fixating on this a bit much. Someone's, yeah. Okay, there's a pipe.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, is that it? See, that's why I'm the paranormal researcher and you're the skeptic.
Well, I know that.
But do you think that...
I'm certainly not coming for your crown, Kev.
You bloody are. And, okay, so do you think that it's feasible? I think what could be happening there is an audible version of what we in the business refer to as stone tape theory. Stone tape theory, as you probably know, is when a big dramatic event takes place in a castle or something like that, and allegedly the emotional after effects imprint themselves on the wall, and then when people of a certain disposition can go past, they replay out, and it's like a video.
I have a valid objection to this. Not a sceptical objection, as in it doesn't happen, as in a valid objection.
Go on.
So you always say that that's because it's to do with the lead in the walls.
Not lead, iron.
Iron in the walls, that it's imprinted on that. But this is an open field.
But there's iron in the earth.
Oh, get lost. You can't just have, like, what, there's one big...
The earth is an iron core.
Okay, but you can't just have that it's what, pretty far down.
Yeah, but who are we, eh? what are we now?
The iron is far too far down
but
to
it could
playing.
Have been. But also, we don't know, there might be something within the earth. There's rocks. There was a monument. There was a monument.
Why are you looking at me as if, Eureka! There was a monument.
Because there was a monument. It could have been made of iron.
Right, okay. But she says she thought it was coming out the rocks.
No, you're getting confused with Disneyland.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I know the difference between Northumberland and Disneyland.
Do you? Yeah, let's see if you do.
Yes.
And I quote, having visited the theme parks in Orlando a few times, we have a running joke about the singing rocks in the theme parks.
Yeah, I know. And then she says, so then I was joking saying they've got it coming out the rocks here as well.
Oh, sorry. No, she doesn't. She says, so I start laughing saying they have singing monuments, not singing rocks. Shoot that skeptical reason out your window.
I'm done with your songs.
I know, yeah, I'm done with that song. So I've stunned you there, and my version's real.
Right.
Fact.
Okay, so, yeah, but back to the replaying out. It can't... Oh, you're saying it's replaying from the monument?
Who knows? Possibly, yes.
For I wonder what the monument is. Do you think it's like ruins or...?
I think I can psychically see it.
Excellent.
I think it's a man.
The monument is a man.
Yeah.
Hello!
No, I think the monument is a man with a sword.
Do you mean a statue?
Yes, statue. Right. I think it's a statue of a man with a sword, a kilt, and a beard.
Who won that battle, do we know?
I have no idea. I mean, I did do history, but it was more like, you know, the plague, things like that. So, Flodden Field, that wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to Google Flodden Field Monument, and let's see if I'm right. Because if I am, then I'm just going to do a fucking backwards somersault. Flodden Field.
I'd love to see you try
monument.
And do a backflip now. So I kind of actually hope you're right.
Flodden Field. Monument. Go to images. There you go. Oh, my God.
That's a cross. That's not a man. What are you talking about?
I said a cross.
You didn't. You said a man wearing a kilt with a sword.
No, I said at the start of it, I said there's a big cross.
No, you didn't.
And then I said, oh.
I think you're forgetting all this is recorded. This is really easy to prove.
Damn. All right, yeah, you win. I'm not psychic.
At least you don't have to do
think
a backflip.
Think you've seen 1 in 10.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
4.
No.
Boom.
It's not. It wasn't.
Why would you lie?
Because it was. So I'm not lying.
What was it then? 3?
No, it was 8.
I knew. Yeah, what's 4 plus 3?
7.
Yeah, and then add 1. Honest to God, you stop denying my prowess.
Right, okay.
Anyway.
Are you pleased you don't have to try and do a backflip?
Yeah, because I've got scoliosis. I've been off work for like a month. Okay, so I'm now going to read out the second story from Sarah's mother.
Before we do that, can we just ask Julie Jane, seriously, can you please send us those stories about the child faces?
Yeah, it's a
need this.
That's an excellent point, yeah. I always say this, when people, there's loads of people do this with stories, you know, when they send them in. They say things like, being a child who was raised in a black magic household and had seen several ritual abuses and, you know, devils coming through the walls, etc., I know what I'm talking about. So therefore, when I seen the ghost of my cat, and they go on about the story of the ghost of the cat... And
I do quite want the story of the ghost cat, though.
Oh, okay.
But, but I see your point. Yeah, definitely.
I made it up.
We need these ones with the spooky faces through the
yes,
window.
Yes, I agree. Anyway, the second story from Sarah's mother. Now, as I say, she sent in 3, Trish has. I'm going to save one for next week so we can do it in the new format because I think they warrant it. Now, let me see. Where is this? So, story 2 is called The Empty House. It is reported on some spiritual and psychic medium websites that one sign of a spirit trying to communicate is the ringing of a telephone. Very true that, did you know that?
Well, it's a sign of anyone trying to communicate.
Yeah, but sometimes spirit. All right. My dad.
Shock horror, telephones used for communication in ghost world.
No, but they are, you know, you won't know this because you don't read as much weird stuff as I do.
As much.
But sometimes when a phone goes, you'll pick it up and you'll like, hello? And you'll be like, that's our Brenda who died 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. True facts. Anyway, my dad, who had a number of strokes before a fatal stroke in 2016, had lived with me and my husband for about 6 months or so after the death of our mum in 2013. There's a lot of death here now, so I'd keep you...
Yeah, I need to you're taking this down a bit more reverentially.
Exactly, yeah. He had lived on his own after a death whilst recovering from a mild stroke, but had started to fail and he was a constant worry to the family. A second stroke made the decision for him to move in with us a no-brainer. It was while he was living with us, we discussed how it was now clear that Dad was not able to live on his own. So we talked about selling the family home and he agreed to it being sold without hesitation or much regret. Must have been a horrible scenario, that then. Mm-hmm. We were lucky because the house was sold within a few days of it going on the market. So the job of emptying it became a bit of a priority. It was during the final stages of clearing out the house that Dad had another stroke and was taken into hospital. Oh. As we hadn't completed formally on the house, we still had a set of keys, so whilst Dad was in the hospital, me and my sister took it in turns to do a daily check on the house whilst it was laying empty. I remember one particular day, it was my turn for afternoon visiting while my sister checked on the house. I just washed my hair and was starting to dry it when the house phone rang. "I'll get it up here," I shouted down to my husband, who would normally answer the phone, but I was expecting it to be my sister. It rang twice before I picked up. "Hello?" Nothing. Complete quiet. No static. No background noise. Just nothing. I remember pressing the phone closer to my ear and straining to try and see if I could hear the slightest sound, but all I heard was a strange emptiness. "Hello," I said again, but nothing. Just the constant quiet, except this time, after a few more seconds, the dialing tone suddenly came on, so I hung up. I was asking myself, I wonder who that was. I knew 1471 would have the answer, so I dialed the number. And up popped my dad's house phone number. Now, for those stateside, 1471, you probably have it over there as well, but I don't know what you dial, is a feature where you pick up a phone if you've missed a call, and you dial, in our case, 1471, and it tells you the number that's just called. So that's for information. So she's done that, and it's come up with her dad's house phone number. By this time, my husband had shouted up to ask who had called. "My sister, I think she's at Dad's. I'll just call her back because she didn't get through for some reason." So I did, straight away. I called her back, dialing Dad's house phone, but there was no answer. I did think that maybe she hadn't got to the house phone in time, so I called her on a mobile, and she picked up straight away. "Hi, I'm just at the shop," she said. "Everything okay at Dad's?" I asked her. Oh, sorry. "Everything okay at Dad's?" I asked her. "Don't know. I haven't been there yet. I'm just on my way." What make you... I love that. I genuinely love that. What's brilliant about that is that stories that come in, like, from people that I know always have a relevance... Not a relevance. They always have an air of authenticity about them because I know the people involved. And that story is fantastic. Now, you've got a very serious face on here.
I have a question.
Good. That's how podcasts work. Go on.
Well, but the dad was still alive at that point, so it wasn't him.
But the mother had passed, I think. Let me just recheck. I think the mother had passed. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Also, after the death of our mum in 2013. He lived on his own after a death. Yes, so...
Yeah, but...
So the mother had died.
Yeah, but I think the implication is that it's him.
Well, you don't know that.
He was alive, so it wasn't him.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
I know, but I don't know. Like, who's she implying it is?
Okay, well, let's take away the implication that it's anyone. A house has rung another house and there's no one
Hello,
in the house.
This is number 23. No. How are you? Number 17.
Hello, this is the semi from down the road. Hello. No, let's be deadly serious. Mm-hmm. An empty house. Something's picked up a phone. Dialed a number, got through to another house.
But just because the sister wasn't in it doesn't mean there was no one in it. Someone else could have been in the house.
Oh, what?
Because it sounds like they were all clearing out, they were all involved. You know, if they've got more
siblings.
Yeah,
but you'll note that she doesn't go on to say, and when my sister did turn up, we'd been burgled. And somebody left a post-it note to say, I just prank called yours.
Obviously, it wouldn't be a burglar, because a burglar wouldn't start ringing people, would they?
Well, exactly. So who was in the
house? No, I'm saying it could have been someone else. Like, I don't know, other siblings or something, or the sister's husband. I don't know. It could be
okay, anyone. And again, why prank call a relative?
No, they wouldn't prank call. Maybe they just didn't come okay, through. So, like, landlines were, you know, they weren't always completely
okay, reliable. Let's play Occam's Razor here. Either, oh no, we can't play Occam's Razor with it, because I'd lose.
I was going to say, go on then. Let's hear this out.
Okay, I'd say in Occam's Razor's terms, if only her and her sister has got the keys.
How do you, which you've made up?
I've made up, but I'm going off the basis of the story.
So premise one, scrapped.
No, kept.
No.
Kept. If they've only got the keys, right, what's more likely? Something within the house has dialed her house.
Someone within the house.
Something. Formerly someone, I agree. Or random siblings who you're inventing. I've came in and what called and said, I'll just call Trish and oh, she's answered. I won't say anything. And now I'll put it down.
No, as we're saying, the landlines can fail, can't they?
But they can't fail to the point of ringing someone.
No, I mean, they can fail as in it was a so what I'm saying is it was a person who rang and for whatever reason, the landline didn't, like it didn't work, you know, it didn't connect properly or whatever, or they couldn't hear her or, you know, something like that. So the landlords failed in that way.
Okay, so you believe that it's a relative that you've introduced to the narrative.
Well, you introduced that only two of them had keys. So
well, okay.
If we're making stuff up.
Okay, right. A relative that you've introduced to the story has called Trish. There's been a fault with the landline.
And then they've left.
Yeah. They've not divulged this to Trish for it to add into the story in any way, shape or form. And it's been left as a mystery that the family clearly talk about and no one's owned up to it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that wraps up this episode, really.
Okay.
Next week, as I say, there will be Change.
Change.
That's the song I was trying to think of, but instead of sung Fame by Bowie. Oh, I must tell you this very quickly before I go. If you could, I'll have to put a picture of this up on Facebook, but...
I wouldn't if I was you.
Why?
Because you look insane.
Fair enough. Because I'm about to do this thing with Jericho, there is... literally wrapping paper turned inside out and covered in notes about Aleister Crowley that I've had to sellotape around the living room so that I can refer to it when I'm on the podcast with them. Now, it does look a bit mental, like there's about 12 sheets.
Properly looks insane.
Like you can't see any walls. It's mad.
Like, you know, in a horror film when you go into the stalker's secret room
or whatever, pictures of you.
And it's just like revealed that he's got stuff stuck up all over the wall. It's like genuinely like
that. It is genuinely like that. But anyway, last night I was doing the part that I'm going to talk about David Bowie on it. And anyway, he's big into the occult, massively into the occult. I am genuinely convinced after doing some research, he's a black magician anyway. And as I'm getting really in depth with it, I'm watching these two final videos, Lazarus and Black Star, which is 10 minutes long and it's just pure occult. Anyway, I become quite obsessed with it last night. I was like, this is amazing. Then I turn on a computer game that let me call the Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5, right?
Oh, is that where you're going with this?
Yeah.
This isn't interesting.
And it does like a thing where it says, test the colour of your screen. And there's a logo behind the colour thing to test. So you have to mess around with it till you can see it. And that means you can play the game normally. And the logo was Diamond Dogs, was the words, which is a David Bowie song. So click through it. The opening scene of the game came on and there's a soldier holding a cassette. And on the cassette, it says, from the man who sold the world, a David Bowie song. And then it proceeds to play the man who sold the world. And here I am, surrounded in all this fucking wallpaper of demonic notes. And it got a little bit scary for a while.
Right, well, first of all, that's only one coincidence. You're positioning it as like three, because like Diamond Dogs... And then another Bowie reference, and then another Bowie reference. Like, whoever's done that computer game knew that they were all Bowie references.
Yes, but they didn't know that in 2020, I'm going to be writing like a lunatic on the back of some wallpaper and writing David Bowie's a demonist all over the walls, would they?
No, but that's not my point. My point is you're acting as if it's like three separate, like, and then it was Bowie again, and then I turned the corner, it was Bowie again, and then again. Whereas it's actually, you've been looking at Bowie, and then you played a video game that features Bowie.
Anyway. You're not seeing the relevance in this. It's highly important. It's a highly occult step. It's Bowie reaching out from his black star depth to touch me psychically in the void.
Don't forget me, Kev.
Don't forget me, Kevin. Not David Bowie.
That was good.
Thank you. That was more.
That was
Brian
worse.
Ferry. Right, anyway, thank you, Becca, for your assistance in this. You've saved my voice somewhat.
Good luck with Jericho.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
And then tonight, I'm off to sing for a songwriting competition. That's tonight. It's the busiest day of my creative life.
Liverpool Acoustic Songwriting Championship final. Challenge, not championship.
I get a cup.
Challenge.
Let me fight.
Final. Yeah.
Yes, I am. So that's all fun.
What's the name of your song?
The name of my song is Cheat Code.
Okay, excellent.
And it's a song about playing. If life was a video game, I'd probably restart it.
Well, thanks.
Not now, I wouldn't. You're my cheat code, you see. That's the whole thing.
Bit awkward yesterday. My dad, they were asking me what your song's like and, like, is it good? Do you know for this competition? I obviously haven't heard it.
Cheeky.
Very little interest in it before. I'll obviously go to support you, and I have moved things around and cancelled other things so I can go to support you. But I don't spend my own time like listening to you. I was like, I'm sure it's very good. I haven't actually heard it, but I'm sure it's great. His songs are usually pretty good. So
I'm sure that if there wasn't alcohol involved in this, you just wouldn't be going. You shouldn't be thinking of that.
I would go. I was just thinking how I do. I'd take a hip flask. But I'd still go, of
course.
Enough.
So it's goodbye from me, the paranormal podcast producer, and it's goodbye from Becca, the functioning alcoholic.
No. Have you ever tried to listen to you without a drink?
On that bombshell. okay, guys, I'll speak to you next week, and you'll speak to me and Becca through the week. If you're a Patreon, don't forget, patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Thank you, chaps. See you later. Say bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Shouldn't have to be told.
Well, I thought you were stopping it, and I'd just be talking to no one.